A Canadian energy firm is temporarily halting all work on its Line 5 construction project in Wisconsin. That's after a crash at the site led to a gas leak in Iron County. It's Tuesday, September 1st, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Thank you so much for being here and starting out the month of September with us. We've got a lot to get to today, including a story about the number of people incarcerated in Wisconsin reaching an all-time high, and leaders in Eau Claire seeking answers on whether it's legal for outside law enforcement agencies to take people who are experiencing homelessness in other cities and drop them off in Eau Claire.
They're just kind of dropped off outside of a closed shelter or on a dark street corner in an unfamiliar community.
Stay with us.
Educators can infuse American Indian Studies into their classrooms with help from WisconsinFirstNations.org. Find videos, maps, lessons, and more to support Wisconsin's Act 31 education requirement. Brought to you by PBS Wisconsin, UW-Madison School of Education, Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, tribal educators, and partners statewide. WisconsinFirstNations.org.
Enbridge, the Canadian energy firm, says it is temporarily halting work on rerouting its Line 5 oil and gas pipeline. This comes after a gas leak in Iron County a week ago. Last week, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources asked the company to halt work until that gas leak is resolved. The energy firm said yesterday it would pause work for 48 hours. DNR Secretary Karen Keon says it's a good first step.
My hope is that the safety training that they are embarking on right now is going to mete out in no further noncompliance going forward as they finish the remainder of the relocation.
Enbridge says a subcontractor's unoccupied flatbed truck rolled into an excavation site, hitting the pipeline. The company estimates more than 1 million gallons of mainly propane and butane vaporized into the atmosphere. It's brought in equipment to burn off the remaining gas. Enbridge says monitoring shows safe air quality, but a half-mile evacuation and no-fly zones remain in place around the site near Saxon. The company hopes to restore service to the pipeline by this weekend. The state's prison population has hit a record high. Evan Casey has more on what this means.
Numbers released Friday by the Wisconsin Department of Corrections showed almost 24,000 people were in adult institutions in the state. Wisconsin Watch first reported that was a new state record. It's nearly 6,000 more than the state's prison system is designed to hold. Marianne Olison is a co-director of Ex-Incarcerated People Organizing, a group pushing to reduce the state's prison population.
23,854 people is not just a record. Those are human beings, thousands of families, and a correction system stretched beyond what it was designed to handle.
A spokesperson for Governor Tony Evers said many of the governor's budget requests related to reform of the justice system were shot down by the state legislature. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Leaders in Eau Claire are asking for clarity from the state about how to handle outside law enforcement agencies bringing people who are homeless and dropping them off there. The city council voted unanimously to press the Wisconsin Attorney General for legal clarity on the issue and how to best handle it. Eau Claire's city attorney, Stephen Nick, says other communities are facing the same problem, like Waukesha, Wausau, Stevens Point, and La Crosse. Eau Claire's police chief, Matt Ruckus, addressed city leaders last week, saying people aren't given any support when they arrive.
They're just kind of dropped off outside of a closed shelter or on a dark street corner in an unfamiliar community without any supports or services.
And Eau Claire City Attorney Stephen Nick says the city has civil rights concerns since individuals may be transported without their consent. Attorney General Josh Call did not immediately respond to a request for comment. State elections officials are holding off on action related to Milwaukee's roughly hour-long delay in getting in some primary election results. As Joe Schultz reports, they're waiting for additional information from the city.
The Wisconsin Elections Commission had been set to vote on whether to send a letter to Milwaukee elections officials questioning the reporting delay, but they received a report from Milwaukee ahead of their meeting. It detailed how the mistake happened and the city's corrective actions. The city also pledged to release additional documentation on its website. Democratic Commissioner Mark Thompson thought the commission's initial letter was too harsh.
If it wasn't for this ongoing, I think, unfair attack on the city and county of Milwaukee, nobody would have even paid attention to an hour delay.
Republican Bob Spindell disagreed. He wanted to move forward with the initial plan. He wanted to send a message that the commission was concerned with Milwaukee's election night track record. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The University of Wisconsin-Platteville is asking students to submit their measles vaccination status. Of course, this comes as the number of measles cases in the region continues to rise. So far, there are about 100 measles cases in Grant, Iowa, and Lafayette counties, according to the Department of Health Services. None of the cases have been on campus. But DHS has urged college campuses to actively verify student measles immunization status. UW-Platteville Chancellor Tammy Avedovich says disclosing vaccination status is voluntary.
I respect that people have different views of vaccinations, and I believe that we're respecting our students' ability to choose. I'm asking them to do it. I think our students understand why we're asking them to do it.
UW-Madison started requiring students to show their vaccination status last school year. A UW spokesperson says other campuses are in discussions about vaccination disclosure policies. Coming up, how a Native American tribe in Minnesota is using carbon credits to help preserve tens of thousands of acres of forest land. Stay with us.
I'm Pam Schwartzbach. My husband, Troy Cutre, and I are the owners of Hive of Madison. Hive of Madison is an outdoor lifestyle and boutique here in Madison, Wisconsin.
It is very frequent that we hear from customers. We heard you on public radio today.
More than any other thing that we do to promote our business, it is public radio that we hear our customers thanking us for.
We find that public radio definitely resonates with our customer.
Learn more about business sponsorship at wpr.org/sponsor.
And finally, not long ago, a Native American community in the upper Midwest bought back 28,000 acres of its own northern Minnesota reservation, and it's paying for the woodlands with something you can't see, the carbon that the band's forest pulls from the air. This plan is being called a potential model for tribal nations across the country. In the first of two reports, NPR's Melissa Olson goes to Boyce Fort, Minnesota to learn more.
Lance Hill pulls his car off a two-lane highway on the Net Lake sector of the Boyce Fort Reservation, just south of the Canadian border.
All right, so we will actually take a little hike.
Sure.
We are in the project area.
The project are parcels of forested land that the band recently got back.
So as you can tell, this forest is a little bit younger.
Younger than other parts of these north woods because this forest was logged hard, then sold off. What grows back first after a forest is cut is fast and sun hungry. That's what's around us now. By the band's account, the 28,000-acre purchase is the largest tribal land return in the United States. In French, Boyce Fort means strong wood or strong forest. In Ojibwe, the name is Zagakwandigo Ininiwug, and describes in part the dense north woods. The Boyce Fort Band lost these forested lands to federal allotment policy and tax forfeiture more than a century ago. 6 years ago, a conservation group bought the land from a timber company with the intention of selling it to the tribe. Carbon credits are a new idea in Indian country, a forest that pays for its own return and heals the land in the same stroke. Boyce Fort is among the first tribes in the nation to try it. Hill describes the young, leafy forest as healthy.
And it's vibrant, it's thick. You know, eventually it may start thinning itself out because of the shade, but it is strong.
As the forest grows, it pulls carbon dioxide out of the air and stores it in wood and soil. A company that wants to offset its own carbon emissions can buy credits equivalent to how much carbon a given patch of woods drinks in. The band is preparing to enroll 22,000 acres of the reacquired lands in its carbon offset project. Brian Van Stippen directs the National Indian Carbon Coalition, which provided technical assistance to the band.
Our mission at the Indian Land Tenure Foundation is Indian lands in the Indian hands. That's what we're trying to do. You know, we talk about the carbon markets and ecosystem markets as a tool in the tool chest to see what is going to be beneficial for Indian country as a whole.
Van Stippen says Boyce Fort and other tribes in the voluntary carbon market decide who they'll sell their credits to. Boyce Fort has said it won't sell to oil and gas companies. Lance Hill says some tribal members were skeptical of the project.
There was a lot of distrust. And then when they hear pieces like, we're going to give you back 28,000 acres and it does not cost anything, that almost sounds too good to be true. And they were like, I got to see it.
Trust comes back slowly, in person, one conversation at a time. For Hill, a key selling point is allowing the land to rest and remaining good caretakers.
We're talking 50 years, 100 years. We don't know exactly what the climate will look like, so we're not sure what battle the nature's going to be facing then. So sometimes the best thing to do is to just let it play itself out.
The Boyce Fort Band of Ojibwe expects to sell its first carbon credits sometime next year. For the Upper Midwest Newsroom, I'm Melissa Olson in northern Minnesota.
The Upper Midwest Newsroom is a public media collaboration among Wisconsin, North and South Dakota, and Minnesota, made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And of course, we got to get to your forecast before letting you go for the day. Today, we're going to see high temperatures getting back into the 80s and 90s. It is going to be another hot and humid day all across Wisconsin. Overnight showers are likely in the northern half of the state, while the south could see some on-again, off-again rain, otherwise just cloudy. But lows tonight going to stay around in the mid-60s, so it's not really cooling off a lot overnight. And it's going to be warm again tomorrow. And that'll do it for this first day of September, this Tuesday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. If you haven't yet, be sure to leave us that rating and review wherever you're listening right now. I love hearing from everyone who listens to the show. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.